Everybody loves chalupas. Everybody loves them now. Hey guys, this is Rish Outfield, and I am bringing you the Rish Outcast, which is a much more frequent show nowadays than it used to be. I have more time on my hands, I suppose. I guess I could dedicate some of that time to the Doomsteef, but that's harder. Do you know what I mean? The Doomsteef is a little bit like playing tennis or basketball or, I don't know, one of those sports where you have to have a partner, or you have to have somebody to play against. The Rish Outcast is just me. It's solitaire. And so here I am. I got this crazy idea in my head just now. I just got in the car, and the neighbors, I think I've mentioned before that the neighbors directly across the street, the husband is a professional opera singer. I mean, is that the correct term for it? He's an opera singer, regardless of whether it's professional or not. And, you know, it's about this time of night when normal people go to sleep. You know, all the children have been tucked into bed with visions of young Alyssa Milano in their head. And I was surprised to see my neighbor and his wife out and about. They're going jogging or power walking, or perhaps they're disposing of a body. I don't know. But I thought, dang, instead of driving so that I could do some dumb podcast, I ought to get on my bike and exercise, even though it's the middle of the night. I've done it before in the middle of the night. I just, you know how it is. Apparently endorphins are released from your brain or into your brain or into your bloodstream or into your colon, I don't know, when you exercise, and it makes you feel good. Oh, you know, excuse my voice. Gosh, I got some stuff to talk to you about, kids. I had the entire weekend alone in the house. My brother-in-law and sister and the kids all went to Las Vegas. And so I was alone, and I knew, okay, I'm going to get some serious podcasting done. I have an audiobook, and I'm going to do the whole thing while they're gone. And I thought it was totally doable. It would take me 3 or 4 hours around that time to record it. Maybe a little bit longer, but I don't know. And I went on Friday to record, like, as soon as they were gone. And my voice, I kept having struggles with my voice. I kept clearing my throat, thinking, you know, that's going to fix it. And it kept sounding like I had a frog in my throat. And I recorded for 15 minutes or so before I finally was like, you know, I don't know if this is going to be usable. It just sounds like I'm doing, it sounds like I have a cold or I don't know. You know, the Mercedes McCambridge heavy smoker voice or something like that. So I stopped, you know, did something else. And then later that night I tried again and it was worse. So I was like, well, Friday's down, but tomorrow I've got all day. And Saturday my voice was the same, if not worse. I couldn't, I got another, not even a chapter done, like a segment of a chapter. And I knew that, oh gosh, this is going to be difficult. I'm going to have to edit around a lot of the noises, and it might be unpleasant to listen to. Because, see, I don't just do the audiobook, I do character voices as well, you know? And if all of them sound like this, even if they're high and they sound like this, oh, there's an old man. That's okay, an old man sounds like this. That's fine. But I was just worried, you know, this is not going to be pleasant to listen to. This is going to be a mistake. Plus, I'm just trying, and the more I try, it feels like I'm straining my voice. It feels like I'm damaging it. I don't know. I started developing a sore throat and ended up taking a NyQuil and going to bed early and thinking, well, okay, Sunday I've got some stuff to do, but as soon as I'm done with that, I'm going to record. And it was out the door. I knew from the moment I woke up that my voice was just not, it hadn't recovered, it wasn't back. So there was that. Sad. And so yes, that was me apologizing for my voice. But I thought when I saw the neighbors go jogging, instead of driving around, I should plug the microphone in to the lapel mic, put that on my collar, and go for a bike ride and podcast while bike riding. Because I've never done that before. And maybe it's exercise and podcasting at the same time. Maybe it would be enjoyable to listen to. Because God knows I got almost nothing done this whole weekend. And, I mean, that's not entirely true. I mowed the lawn. I watered the plants. I swept the floor. I shipped some stuff. I published Sidekick's Journey. I started publishing the audiobook version, then I realized I had to have a sample, you know, 5-minute sample, and so I sort of struggled with that, but I did that. I created the 5-minute sample, and so the file is ready to upload. I just, you know how it is, you lose momentum. I started doing that sample and lost track of time, and my internet connection is so insanely slow that after about an hour I was just like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do this anymore because this is a huge waste. So I did accomplish something this weekend, just not what I thought I would do. And you know, to be honest, all those other things that I did do, like mowing the lawn and all that stuff, I had to do anyway. You know what I mean? It's Chris Rock saying a certain segment of the population always wants credit for something they're supposed to do. I ain't never been to jail. You're not supposed to go to jail, you low expectation having motherfucker. I take care of my kids. What do you want, a cookie? Anyhow, I feel a little bit guilty when I don't achieve anything. You'd think I'd be used to it by now. But yeah, maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll try the bike riding podcast. It couldn't be any harder to listen to than a regular Rish Outcast. I edited one today. I did some of the noise reduction where you isolate a section where I'm not talking, that's just the background noise and the sound of the engine and all that. Then you try and eliminate that, and it just made it sound worse. And so I was like, well, okay, I'm either going to have engine noise and wind, or I'm going to have weird artifacting. And so I chose engine noise and hiss. Shoot, there was something I was going to talk about. Let me figure it out. So, one of the things that I did this weekend was I watched movies. And I was able to see movies just, you know, in the shared television room that usually is playing Pokemon or worse. You ask, well, what could possibly be worse than Pokemon? Well, football season is upon us. But anyway, I was able to watch 3 or 4 movies I had never seen. One was Black Mass, the Johnny Depp, it's a Whitey Bulger biopic. It did have guns, and I don't know if they're car chases, but yeah, it's not a movie that women will like. Oh, I also didn't like that. It introduced way too many characters, and then characters would be lost from the narrative, and then they'd reappear later, or they'd be mentioned that, oh, they're still around. And it just made me think, oh, well, this is probably a 3-hour movie that got cut down to 2 hours. And it was 2 long hours. So, should I finish this story on a bicycle? Is that madness? Part of me wants to do it just as an experiment, you know? Like, we're going to try this thing and see how it goes. So give me a moment, and we will try this thing and see how it goes. Okay. I think I'm really going to do this thing. The bicycle experiment. A part of me was worried about how the sound will be, but you just got to trust me on this. So we will try this experiment, kids. I am about to get on the bicycle. So let's see. What was I talking about? There was something that I planned on talking about. And then I got it into my silly little head to do this bicycle thing. And now, that's all I can think about. I am riding the bike and talking. This is dumb. a dumb idea. But that's life. At least I can say I tried it. Anyhow, let's see. Oh, one of the things that I did this weekend, you know, there's the big TV, too big, in my opinion, in the living room. And so I watched some movies. One of them was Black Mass. Not the Mario Bava movie, but the biopic? I don't know if I'm using that term correctly. It was unpleasant. It also felt like it had been shaved way, way down. Like characters would appear and then they would disappear. Not in the mafia sort of way, a hitman taking them out, making them disappear, although that happened as well. But it's just, yeah, there would be like little subplots that started to go somewhere and then they'd be gone. I don't know. It's based on a book. Maybe they wanted you to read the book, but anyhow, this is so weird. I worry about the sound of the wind on the microphone. Maybe I should pedal slower. Oh, okay. I was going to talk about this. Now I wonder if I should. On Friday, I went someplace and in the lobby they had The Intern playing. And it's that Nancy Meyers movie with Robert De Niro and Anne Hathaway. And, you know, I remember when that came out last year, I wanted to see it. It had a good trailer. I like both of those actors. And it came to the cheap theater, I remember, and I either called my mom or maybe I even walked right up to her. And I said, hey, The Intern's over at the cheap theater. And she said, oh, I know, I saw it 2 days ago. And I was like, oh, okay. Which meant I wouldn't be seeing it. I don't know. I guess I said that about podcasting being like tennis. Going to the movies, for me, is a lot like tennis, too. I like other people around. Yeah, I've been known to go to a movie by myself before. But it's usually a last resort. It's something I really want to see, and no one will go with me. But as I've gotten older, I realize that, you know, if I wait just a couple weeks, I mean, maybe it's months, but it feels like weeks, that I'll be able to see it at the house. I'll be able to rent it. You'll be able to see it for free on television. It's just part of life. I know there are a lot of people that just don't go to the movies at all. I can understand. Anyhow, sorry. I was in the lobby and this woman was there and she saw me watching The Intern on the TV and she said, have you seen this? And I said, no. And she said, oh, it's called The Intern and it's about, and I said, oh, I know what it is. I just never had a chance to see it. Is it good? And she said, oh, I love it. I've seen it, I don't know, 3 times or something like that. Which to an adult, I guess, is a lot of times. And I said, yeah, I meant to check it out. I just never had the chance. And she's like, well, I don't know if you would enjoy it so much. And I said, oh, me, personally? Well, there went the recorder. Somehow it fell out of the pocket onto the ground. According to this, it's still recording. According to this, it's still picking up my voice. Okay, so that happened. I guess I'll have to ask big to ask people for donations again to get me a new microphone. No, as long as it's recording fine, I don't care if it's scuffed up. Sorry about that, though. I'm embarrassed. At least it didn't stop recording. We caught that for posterity. Anyhow, rewind. I said, oh, I meant to see it. And she said, oh, I don't know if you'd like it. I don't know that, it's a movie for guys. And I said, whoa, what doesn't it? I mean, it has Robert De Niro in it. And she says, yeah, but there's not any guns or car chases in it. And I thought, oh, well, and hey, let me interrupt by saying, that I was in no way offended by her saying that. I don't think that was an offensive thing to say. Well, I can see somebody being offended if I said, oh, you really should see blank, but I don't know if you'd like it. It's not got emotions and people talking about their relationships in it. I could see somebody being, a woman being offended by that. You know, it's kind of a double standard. That's just how it is. Oh, here I am talking about this. Sorry, I was actually going somewhere with this, kids, but tempted to cut that out, but I'm not going to. Okay, I'm a grown-up. I'm a big boy. If somebody said, you're not going to like it because you'd have to read the subtitles or whatever, I could see people being offended, but I'm not offended. I am what I am. I'm a white male. I'm the oppressor. But everybody loves chalupas. No, everybody needs to develop just a tiny bit thicker skin. You're always going to hear something that you can choose to be offended about. And this woman in no way meant it offensively, I'm sure. And so I choose to take it in a non-offensive way. Anyway, sorry, I'm doing the one uphill part of the ride. I'm trying to talk to you. So now we've got the sound of the wind. We've got the sound of crickets. Probably my favorite sound in the world. And the sound of me gasping for breath. Anyway, to make a long story short, I found The Intern on demand. And I was watching it today. And it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that movie. But my brother-in-law came back while I was in the middle of the movie. And I jumped up and turned it off like I was a kid and my mom had walked in on me watching a movie with Shannon Tweed in it or something. Look it up. It's a funnier joke if you know who Shannon Tweed is. I turned it off and said, oh, hey, let me help you guys with your luggage. Like I had been doing something wrong. And that to me is pretty funny. I think a psychiatrist would say, well, you must have deep down thought you were doing something wrong to respond in such a way. Fudge, guys, I'm sorry. I had another agenda before this whole bicycle thing started. I was going to talk about doing the Rish Outcast and publishing Sidekick's Journey, and that before I got to work on a Sidekick's Journey, I was going to publish this collection of audio fiction, and I got it ready to go, like the file and all that, just perfect. Well, not perfect, but good enough, you know. And I never published it. So it's the same as I used to be. Same as it ever was. Same as it ever was. Then I got cover art for Sidekick's Journey from Dave Krumenacher, and it was great, and so there was nothing preventing me from publishing that. And it's now published, so I accomplished one thing this week. But the episode I was editing today talked about this audio collection. It says, oh, guys, you remember that audio collection I put out? This was part of it. I looked and I'd recorded that in March of 2016, and I still hadn't put out that audio collection. It did make me feel like a slacker or worthless or like I wasn't doing my part. I can't believe it. I've ridden for 2 miles now. I've got this little thing on my phone. It's an app that tells how far I've ridden.
tells how fast I go and how many calories I burn, and tells me which movie star is going to die next, which is weird. Apparently, you're supposed to pay extra for that feature, and I don't. But anyhow, that was an experiment. That was both of those things. Ooh, I lost the ball. What do you call it? The filter thing that protects your scrotum. Okay, so I'm back. What I had planned on doing with this, I was going to go through that audio collection and find a story that I hadn't presented on here, but I already had in audio form, almost a free episode. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't do it. I did this bicycle riding thing instead. That actually took a little bit out of me. I'm not in good shape. I guess what I'll do now is just take a look at that collection and see what it would take to get it published. This has been a weird episode. I apologize if it wasn't great. Well, I know it wasn't great. I put out a lot of these, though. They're even easier than writing a blog. I don't know. I looked the other day, and I have over 1,000 posts on my blog, which seems like a lot. There are writers out there that have 1,000 stories, 100 published fill-in-the-blanks. I guess I can't measure my success against theirs, because, you know, it's not a race against them. It's just a race against me. But having watched a Robert De Niro movie today, I find myself doing this thing with my hands, my face. I am aware I can do more. I can. I could work harder. I could get up early. I could sleep less. I could, I don't know, watch fewer chick flicks. Sorry. I'm just going to let this one go. We'll put this out there and forget about it and move on. Try and do something else that's creative. I'll try and uncover a story. Ah, you know, I last time I went up to the cabin, I took this old notebook and it had a bunch of stories in it that had never been typed up. And I typed up one and I thought it was just awful. But in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, well, I'll podcast that one and I'll talk about how I think the story is awful. But I never did because it's just daunting. The thought of putting that much work into something that I think is awful. I could go on to ACX and find books on there that the authors want narrators for that are awful. But, you know, there is something to be said for knowing that something is bad, knowing why something doesn't work, being able to point to this and this and say, okay, this is what I would fix in the future, or this is what I would do differently. So, I'm not narrowing that out. It's still possible that I will do that episode in the future, but maybe what I should do is go through that notebook and type up another story, and maybe it won't be awful, and people will like it, and I can podcast that, and maybe sell a couple of copies. These are good things. I had forgotten, after this little bike ride, that I had a messed up voice. I've forgotten a lot of things, kids. Let's just promise never to talk about this again, okay? This has been Rish Outfield. This probably should be part of a Doonstief episode, but since we don't do Doonstief episodes anymore, I guess I will talk about it all by my lonesome. And maybe I'll just tack this onto an episode that's already complete or that ran short. Believe it or not, there are episodes of the Rish Outcast that are short. Anyhow, the other day I was having a conversation with, well, it was with Big. Why not call a spade a spade? And he was telling me about a cartoon that his child, who I believe is 4, was watching. And that Big sort of was just in the back of his head that it was going on. He wasn't really paying attention. And then one of the characters said something, and he started to pay attention to this show that is 4 children. You know what? I'm going to throw in ostensibly there, because it's one of those cartoon shows that has a big adult following. They're all millennials, but you know, ostensibly it was for kids, but he started paying attention to it. And it had some really interesting ideas that he thought about, that grabbed hold of his brain and said,
if done seriously, this could be very compelling. And you know what? Again, in the spirit of full disclosure, it was compelling in the cartoon, enough for him to, you know, drop whatever he was doing and start watching the cartoon with his boy. Anyway, he told me about this episode of the cartoon, and then he told me of sort of how it had taken root in his head, and he had come up with the idea for like a YA book that could come from this. And to Big's credit, it wasn't a dystopian future, the world is high school sort of YA idea. It was a fantasy set on a far-off world and or in the distant past, the world is high school YA idea. And he told it to me, and I thought, you know, I would read that. I mean, if it were written by him, if it were written by the right sort of author. And he and I had this conversation afterward, though, about the dystopian world that is high school trope, genre, fad that has been going for years now. Years and years. I'm not the reader that a couple of my friends are. I usually average about a book every 5 weeks, every 6 weeks. A little better than a book every other month, a little worse than a book a month. Once the weather gets bad and you can't go outside and ride bikes and stuff, maybe I will get better at reading. You never know. But as it stands, I have just tons of books that I will probably never get to. I enjoy reading, but I don't make time for it. Or maybe it's fair to say that I enjoy reading, but I don't enjoy it as much as other uses of my time. So, you know, I don't get to reading a lot. But Big has this long commute, which I've talked about many times, and he's talked about. And so he tends to throw in an audiobook, and in a week, you know, or 10 days, the entire audiobook is done, because he's got 45 minutes in the morning, 45 minutes at night. He does that 5 days a week, and sometimes six. So he and I had this conversation about the YA books, because he's much more well-read than I am, simply because he has the time to listen to audiobooks. Is that fair? Does that sound like a slight against him? It's not meant to be. Okay, Big has listened to a lot of these YA books. And also, because he's got a long commute that he's sort of stuck with every single day, or because he's got a much more even temperament, or is easier to please, or blank, blank, blankety, blank, blank, blank. Sorry about the profanity. He has managed to listen to a lot of these all the way through. Whereas usually I know on that first disc if I'm going to enjoy it or not. And there have been times when it's like right out of the gate, this narrator is no good, or the writing style here is no good, or this main character is not for me. And I just look for an excuse to turn it off. It's like, okay, if I hear that word, that one word, one more time, it's going off. And then 3 minutes later, there's that word again. And I was like, okay, yay! And I feel like they did me a favor. Because it's saving, it's, you know, it's a waste of time to listen to something I'm not going to enjoy or get anything out of except for anger. But Big's not like that. He will listen to a book and, you know, maybe he doesn't listen all the way through the end, but it has to be pretty darn bad for him to turn it off and say, nope, I am going to listen to the radio or sit with my thoughts or think about writing instead. Along the lines of that topic, I guess the conversation that we had was, why are there so many of these YA books that are bad, that are lame, that are really infantile, that are stupid? You've heard me complain before. I read a book by Brandon Sanderson that I liked so little that I nearly didn't read The Way of Kings, even though I had it. I had a copy. And The Way of Kings was very, very, very good. Although, boy, it was overwritten, guys. It was, what, 1,200 pages, 1,100 pages? And, you know, I think that would have been just as good a book at 800 pages. There's that. But sorry, if you feel differently, that's fine. I know that he has people that just worship the ground he walks on. And he is an example that I use over and over again because I've heard him speak and he's very intelligent. He seems like a nice guy and he's got a work ethic that I can't even begin to come close to. At my best, I was not even close to him on an average day. That's neither here nor there. The YA subgenre or kind of book vexes me. It always does. For example, have you read, I think they're called His Dark Materials. They're by Philip Pullman. The first one was called The Golden Compass / Northern Lights. The second one was called The Subtle Knife. And those, I think, would be placed on a shelf right next to your book about the year 2050, when the popular kids get to live and the unpopular kids have to be eaten by the popular kids because high school continues. But I've read those two, only those two. I know there are others. And I never for a moment felt I was being talked down to. I never felt ashamed for listening to it, like I was doing something naughty. Those were just books that had young protagonists. Now, maybe that doesn't qualify as a YA. Maybe it has to be a teen protagonist for it to be YA. I don't know. All I know is that your definition of YA and my definition of YA are different, and neither of us is right. And you know I'm telling the truth because I said neither instead of neither, which is the way I pronounce that word. Anywho. Sorry, where'd that come from? Oh, we were talking about Big being inspired by a cartoon. And we had this conversation, and I encouraged him to write, but, you know, it's not going to make a difference because it's Big. And, you know, that sounds insulting, doesn't it? But it's not. Only he can make, only you can prevent forest fires. Only he can make himself write. And he's had some really, really good ideas. He's quite an idea man. He's one of those guys that's, his mind is spinning, and he just needs to be in a position where he can make other people do the actual writing, and I think he'd be quite successful. But his idea was a good one, even though, yeah, it's stolen from a kid's cartoon. We had the conversation about whether that's okay, and the conclusion I came to, which may not necessarily be the conclusion he came to, is it doesn't matter what inspired your idea. As long as you write it, as long as you were inspired. And whether the book is any good is neither here nor there. I mean, yeah, it would be great if all the things that I wrote were just home runs, which is the name of a scatological story that I wrote that is neither here nor there. It would be great if everything that I wrote was just perfect. But it's not. I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect writer. My mind is not perfect. I was watching a movie today, and the way that I watch movies is that I watch them while I'm working. And when I'm done working, then I have to turn the movie off. And so I got about 11 minutes into it. It was one of those where I put in the disc, right? It was a Netflix disc, and it had all these trailers at the beginning. And they just autoplay before you can get to the menu and watch the regular movie. And so I kept working while the trailers were playing, and it was like 6-7 minutes of trailers, which was 6 or 7 minutes that I wasn't watching the movie itself. But the movie started, and it had this interesting premise. It's a drama. It's not a genre thing at all. And I thought, oh, you know what would be really neat is if this premise went in this direction. And almost immediately, I would say within the first 4 minutes, the premise didn't go that way. It went a different way. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. I'll keep watching. But in the back of my mind, I thought, well, I wonder if I could write a story where what I thought might happen did happen. And if you've got your own main character and if you've got your own universe that it takes place in and your own agenda and your own life history behind it, then it's going to be very different from the thing that inspired it. I mean, unless you're absolutely ripping something off, which has happened from time to time, you know that, I think you're okay. Unless you're absolutely ripping something off, it's not going to be evident what inspired you. Or if it is evident, it doesn't matter. For example, Aliens. The sequel to Alien that James Cameron wrote is a wonderful film. It's one of my favorite movies. But people time and time and time again say, well, he's really just ripping off Starship Troopers. Or, you know, he's ripping off Heinlein's military science fiction. Or there are other things that... I mean, Cameron is always being accused of ripping things off, whether it is Outer Limits episodes written by Harlan Ellison, or Dances with Wolves, or there being a, you know, a movie in the 1940s about the Titanic sinking. Aliens surpasses all these other things that... No, I'm not going to say surpasses, I'm going to say transcends, which is essentially the same word. These things that inspired it. If Cameron did read Starship Troopers as a kid, or have Rocket Will Travel or any of these Heinlein books when he was a kid, what he brings to it, what Stan Winston brought to it, what Sigourney Weaver brought to it, what Walter Hill brought to it, these are all elements in creating something new, creating something different, creating something wonderful. And along those same lines, somebody in the year 2017 could have grown up with Aliens and absolutely adored it and be inspired to make something that transcends Aliens, that is inspired by it, but a totally different thing. It's its own thing. In fact, I'm sure there have been movies that were inspired by Aliens that were great movies. Star Trek First Contact. I remember Brandon Braga and Ronald Moore saying Aliens by James Cameron was a big influence on how we told Star Trek First Contact. There you go. I know that's not 2017, okay? But neither are you. So anyhow, I guess the point I was trying to make, and maybe I never made it, was that it doesn't matter what your inspiration is as long as you are inspired. Which sounds hypocritical considering I have called things ripoffs before, but it has to really be a ripoff. Like, you know, I remember somebody saying, oh, well, the 1987 Masters of the Universe movie is just a ripoff of Star Wars mixed with Back to the Future. Ugh. And, you know, that's the greatest movie ever made, guys. Don't be disrespectful. Yeah, there's a little bit of Star Wars in there. Yeah, there's a little bit of Back to the Future in there. It's still its own glorious thing. Maybe if I hated the movie like you do, I would think that too. But you know what? Everything's a ripoff of Star Wars, isn't it? And Star Wars was a ripoff of The Hidden Fortress, according to, I don't know, George Lucas. I don't know that he would ever have said that. It was influenced by that. And yeah, if you look at certain things, you can say, oh, here's this influence in this. But you know, a cat named Shakespeare said there's nothing new under the sun. And that was... Geez, when did Shakespeare live? 50 years ago? Late 60s at the very, very latest? I don't know. I think that story resonates a lot of times because it is familiar, and oftentimes because it talks about life, which we're all experiencing, which we're all in different stages of. And there are certain universal truths, certain things that all of us feel, all of us experience, and that is what makes us human beings. I've written a couple of things that were very inspired by something else. You know, then there are things that I've written where I go, I don't know where that came from. Weird. I have no idea. But that doesn't make the former invalid and the second one better, superior. you remember The Calling? I wrote that. I'm about 3/4 of the way through the sequel right now, and it's been giving me a hard time because I should have finished it a long time ago, and then things happened to me and I stopped writing on it, and then it was hard to get in that same mindset where I was before. And yeah, it's a lot harder now than it was then. But there are so many things that have inspired this second book. I mean, I say second book, the first one was a short story, right? But I remember when I released that first story, somebody said, and they didn't say ripoff, they just said, hey, there's a movie like this called Frailty that Bill Paxton directed. Maybe they didn't even say that Bill Paxton directed, but I knew Bill Paxton directed it because I had seen Frailty. And as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, you know, it does have this, this, and this in common with Frailty. Oh, where's my pistol? Boo-hoo. You know, something like 50 Shades of Grey is more interesting when you find out that it was Twilight fan fiction. I mean, maybe that's the only way 50 Shades of Grey becomes interesting. But I like stuff. I like stuff that is really, really good, and I like stuff that is really, really bad. The stuff I don't like is the stuff that's in the middle, where you're like, ah, this could have been, this, yeah, well, this kind of works, this doesn't, eh. There's this movie that everybody loves.
Everybody loves it.
That's just a huge undulating bucket of shite. And I remember when I saw it, I thought that the ending was shite. I thought that the ending ruined everything. I was like, oh, okay, well, F you, guys. You're not allowed to do that. What, did Aaron Kruger write this? And I just sort of dismissed it. I tried to block it from my mind because who cared? It's not worth dwelling about. But then I started hearing people talk about this is the best movie. You guys like The Matrix? Here's something that's better. You guys like Gone with the Wind? Oh, this blows Gone with the Wind out of the wind. You guys like porn? You should watch this instead. And when I started hearing that, then my hatred for that film began to grow. Because, yeah, it was only when people started telling me how great it was that its mediocrity became, you know, several rungs on the ladder lower than mediocrity, became crap with a rolled R. I wish that I wrote every single idea that I got that I was passionate about. Because, you know, sometimes I'll get ideas. Like the one today while I was watching that movie. I was just like, oh. I usually don't say the names of these movies because I'm a coward. But I believe the movie I started watching today was called Remembrance. The reason I didn't mention it is because I couldn't remember if it was called Remember Me. That's a Star Trek The Next Generation episode. Remember, that's something else. That's a word. I think it was called Remembrance. But, you know, that idea that jumped into my head as I watched the first 10 minutes of that movie, I've already sort of forgotten about it. It didn't grab me and go, oh, this would be grand. I wish that I had written every single one of those, oh, this would be grand ideas. Because there have been some. I saw this movie at the very end of when Hammer Studios was making its movies, they decided to try to do a chop socky horror movie. And I made quotes in the air. I don't know why I did that. I'm alone in the car and this is not a visual podcast. But it's called Dracula. Is it called Dracula and the Seven Golden Vampires? Maybe it's called the Seven Golden. No, I think Dracula was in the title. Anyway, it's a very Eastern Chinese influenced vampire movie. Made by the Shaw Brothers, I believe. And my buddy Jeff and I watched it. And I was really, really fascinated by one aspect of the movie. And I thought, oh gosh, I need to write my own Van Helsing, like at the end, the final Van Helsing story. You know, at the end of his life kind of thing. And I jotted down some notes on it. And I was really exuberant about it. I was like, wow, this is really solid. And nobody would ever know that this was inspired by Dracula and the Seven Golden Vampires. Was it that what it was called? Seven Gold? I know that there were gold vampires and that there were seven of them. But that's all I know. I don't know much. But I know I love you. And that may be all I... Well, I had my weekly get-together with Big. We meant to record. I sent him a file for us to record. It's getting kind of down to the wire.
And we didn't end up doing it. We had too many things we wanted to talk about, complain about our lives, complain about political issues that beset us right now. And we ended up talking for hours and not recording, not podcasting. I don't know. We're both going through a little bit in our lives right now of, and maybe you are too. Maybe everybody is. Of not being where you want to be, of looking at your life and saying, is this it? Is this the best I can do, the best I can be? Why am I not so much further along, et cetera, et cetera? And I don't know. He and I have been getting together weekly for 10 years now. That's a long time. And I'd like to think that I'm a good influence on him. And the truth is, maybe I'm not. Well, I know I'm not as bad an influence on him as his wife thinks that I am, but I'm not as good an influence on him as I should be. I try to encourage him to write. I try to encourage him to try this or that, and often it doesn't work. And I think I've even said in this episode, you know, it's up to him to motivate. You can only motivate yourself, I guess. I maybe if you've got a writing partner or a spouse or best friend or, you know, I don't know. But he was talking about making a list of affirmations, one of which was, I like to write. And saying it to himself every time he gets in the car to go to work, and saying it to himself every time he comes home from work in the car to see if, you know, it might convince him to do, you know, one of the things is, you know, I like to exercise. I like to eat healthy things. I don't like the taste of soda or donuts or fill in the blank, any of these things that are truly great, wonderful things. And I want him to succeed. I want him to, you know, be more healthy and lose weight and write more and be a better husband and father and all these things, you know, get a better job and stuff like that. Because that might encourage me. That might inspire me. I really ought to surround myself with other writers or other creative people so that they can inspire me and encourage me instead of being alone in this car like I am right now and saying these things and then, you know, there's nothing holding me to it, really. But he's going to try this affirmation stuff. And I hope that he succeeds. I would like to succeed. I would like to write more, to write better, and to publish the things that I write. And I don't know if I'm too old to change, if I'm too set in my ways, you know what I mean? That was part of the argument that we had tonight, is I said, you know, I'm the same person that I was 10 years ago. I'm never going to change. I'm never going to get any better at writing X number of hours a day or a week or X number of words. You know, sometimes I do better and sometimes I do badly. I mean, I'm never going to get better. And he disagreed. He's like, of course you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. And yeah, he's right. I'm fatter. I looked it up. It's Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. I think I mentioned that earlier in this episode. And it encouraged me so much. Oh, I wanted to write this story. And I didn't do it. I wrote it down, my idea. I'd like to go back to that. But one of the things we talked about is you know, I was like, well, how would I ever get more disciplined when it comes to writing? How would I ever sit and force myself to write, you know, this many hours or whatever? And unless something happens and I break both my legs and I'm stuck, or, you know, I go to jail and I've got nothing to do but sit and think and write and better myself, I just don't see it happening. And probably what I need to do is get a job where I'm stuck at a cubicle. I've got no place to go and nothing to do. And I can make myself write there. I'll bet a lot of people get work done that way. Get work done while they're at work, if you know what I'm saying. I think of the jobs that I had where I did have my own desk and I just had to sit around waiting for other people to do their jobs so that I could start on mine. And I
I wish I had taken better advantage of it, but alas, it was the age of the internet. And there's nothing more time wasting than the internet. It's just this beautiful, beautiful thing. Just like YouTube alone is a time vampire. Big used to talk about Jay Lake, this writer who had announced to the world that he was going to stop being a consumer and focus on being a producer. And I apologize if this is the eighth time you've heard me tell this, but he brought it up again today, Big did. And I was reminded of that, and I was reminded of how I felt when I first heard him say that, and now how I feel when I hear him say it. Because maybe I have grown or changed or evolved or devolved in the last 10 years. Because I hear that and I go, yeah, you're right. I could work on creating stuff more. I could work on putting more things out there. As far as this podcast goes, holy cow, have I been prolific, right? I mean, at this point, I've started to force myself to at least wait 10 days in between publishing podcasts, which is amazing. I mean, it makes my head spin. It makes the me of 2014 cry out, what? Really? But some of the attention that I give to this podcast really should go to other things. I don't know. When I was with the writers group in LA, I'm trying to think. It would be my turn to share something, I think every third meeting. Or, I mean, I think we had like a rotation and an email would be sent out and it's like, okay, I'm three names from the top, which means I need to have something prepared for next time. And having something prepared meant having something written and having copies made so that people could all read it and make notes on it or do the parts. And it really encouraged me. It really lit a fire under my butt to produce, to have something ready. So, I mean, they're like, oh gosh, there was nothing more shameful than it being your turn. And you're like, oh guys, you know, I didn't really get to anything this week. I apologize, but this is still, you know, the idea that I have and this is what I'm working on. And everybody be like, yeah, okay, that's cool. Just work on writing that and we'll, when it, you know, hopefully you'll have some pages for next time. But the guy had had his spot and he blew it. And yeah, it was very encouraging to have that deadline, to have that fire lit. And so I need to figure out ways to do that sort of thing. There's another contest that's just starting for a website, and I will definitely participate in that. I tried to think the other day of a story, something quick that I could write, and I came up with various scenarios, and I didn't like any of them. And I don't know if your process is like that or not. A lot of times something will just jump into my head. Like today while I was watching that Remembrance show. Something jumps into my head and I go, ooh, hey, that seems like that would be really cool. Or, oh, wow, wouldn't that be scary if, or wouldn't that be funny if, or, oh, what about a planet where, kind of thing. And that just jumps into my head unheeded, unbidden. That's it, unbidden. Ooh, sounded literary for a second there, didn't I? But the opposite, where you're trying to force something, is like, okay, I've got to come up with something. Okay. That is hard. And I went for a bike ride yesterday. And it's late in the year, it's cold, but I sort of forced myself to do it because I thought it was later than it was. I was like, oh, the whole day's wasted and I didn't accomplish anything. And then I looked and I said, oh, you know what? I still probably have a half hour. Oh, well, I'm going to go for a bike ride. And while I'm on my bike ride, I think about writing. I think about whatever writing project I'm on right now. And it's been tremendously helpful to me. Because I've tried riding the bike and listening to music, and that's fine. That's good. I mean, if it's a, you know, Michael Cimbello's She's a Maniac or something, then, you know, this is the beat. I'm Jennifer Beals. And I pedal a little harder, and that's good. But if it's silent and I force myself to think about writing, I sort of have to focus on it. It's been really good. And I was talking about that, about how, you know, I focus on writing. And yesterday I did that. I rode, and you get exercise, which is good. And I also get inspiration for writing, which is good. I mean, it's two really, really good things. Like if somebody said laughter burns calories, and so you watched a stand-up comedian and you laughed and really enjoyed yourself and you lost a pound, you know, something like that. Wouldn't that be great? And so yesterday I rode and I thought, and I came up with a little, not a lot, but another scene for the book that I'm writing right now. And I let's call it a novella, because if it's a book, then it's too intimidating. It's too much. I can't write a book, but I can write a novella. I can write a great big short story. But I've been stuck. I don't know where to go next. And so, you see, I like to have a goal in mind. I like to have something that I'm working toward and know, at least in my head, okay, this scene will lead to this, and then this will happen, and I can write that. And while I'm writing that, I'll come up with the next scene after that. Because there's nothing worse than hitting the wall of, okay, now what happens? Oh, gosh, I don't know. I haven't thought of anything past this. The time is running out. Oh, boy, I don't know what to write. I'm completely worthless. My parents were right. And maybe your writing process, if you're a writer, is totally different than that. And if so, great. But that's how my writing process is. And so I came up at least with another scene before I hit the wall. And basically, I'm just pushing the wall a few more feet. I finished bicycling. You know, it was one of those things where, oh, gosh, it was great. In fact, it's 12:34. Ooh, 1, 2, 3, 4. I love it. A.M. right now. So it's not that late for me, for Rish Outfield. For everybody else, they're like, oh, geez, you've wasted the whole night. But for me, there's still enough time that I could record. There's still enough time that I could sit down and write. Part of me wishes that it was still warm enough that I could just hop on my bike and ride, you know, a mile at least, a mile and a half, 2 miles, so that I could feel that inspiration that I felt yesterday. Because, oh, it was nice. As I turned the final turn to go back toward home, I started pedaling really, really hard, because that's how I do it. That's probably how all people that exercise do, is when you see the end in sight, it's like, okay, give it your all. Go, 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 go. But it wasn't just for that. It was for, oh, I can't wait to get home and write this scene. Ooh. And I did. I got home and I opened up the crap top. Sorry, old habits die hard. It's a laptop. And I typed the scene. And it wasn't a lot. It was probably 300 words that I wrote. But I wrote. And if that's all it would take is to ride my bike and I come up with something else, then maybe I need to do that more. I need to do that every single day. Can you ride your bike when it's super cold outside? I don't know. Maybe there's one way to find out. I should test and see. Anyway, kids, I am home. And I meant for this to be a little episode thing, a little addendum to an episode. And I blew it because it's been long. It should be its own dang thing now. And I don't know that I ever finished what I was talking about before. But it's too late because I'm done. The point I was trying to make before was, inspiration can come from any source. And no source is lame. No source is stupid. You can do it. You can be inspired by something that you hate, by something that you love, by something that doesn't move you either way. In fact, that's probably a great jumping off point. Is, why didn't this work? Huh, I should have cared more when this happened. Maybe I can come up with something where I will care. I don't know. I love that sort of thing.
And I encourage you to do it. But, you know, just between you and me, I'm really trying to encourage myself to do it. Because, you know, if you heard that Van Helsing story that I told you about, I think it's really, really, really good. The me of, you know, 2019 is just like, yeah, well, that's definitely one of the better things I wrote this year. I don't know. And even if the thing that you write, that I write, is not great, it's another thing. You learn something, right? Don't you learn something from every project? Maybe that's foolishness. I don't know. Perhaps you only learn when you look at what you've created and you decide this is what works and this is what didn't work. Let me apply those things that I've learned to the next project. Then, of course, there is nothing wasted when you're writing. You're always getting better. You're always improving with each piece that you write. In that sense, there is no such thing as bad writing. It's all just a process to make you learn, grow, improve. Well, thank you, Professor. Wow, that was really nice. I think we're going to end with that. I want to thank the professor for joining me today. And I want to thank you for joining me today. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Good night.
The Rish Outcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. You're damned right.
It was one of Hammer's final movies, Hammer Horror, Hammer Studios, Hammer Films, Hammer Pictures, Hammer and Anvil, Fire and Ice, Ice Pirates, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, DuckTales, Tales of the Gold Monkey, Chilled Monkey Brains, Monkey Bone. Please cut out all that shite.
I apologize, I did a podcast while riding the bike. And I don't know if it has aired before this one. It should, because I recorded it before this one. And what sucked is the dang microphone fell out of my pocket while I was pedaling. I had the lapel mic attached so that, you know, I didn't have to have the mic held. It was in my pocket, but it fell out. And it ended up dragging on the ground until I could stop the bicycle. And I fear that it did some damage to the microphone. Sorry about that tremendous waste of time. I just had this tiny little errand to run before I left, and I went into the store, and I saw, way off in the back of the store, I saw something. And I thought, oh, I gotta mention this to Big, that I saw this. It was a thrift store kind of thing, you know, where you can buy things very, very cheap. And I looked at a couple other things, and then I started to walk toward the exit, toward you. Suddenly it occurred to me, wait, what was this thing that I needed to tell Big about? And I kept walking, and I couldn't think of what it was. And in the back of my mind, it was like, hey, this was desperately important. This was so important that you nearly texted him to have him remind you when you get together what you saw. So I finally turned around. Because, you know, I was thinking, well, yeah, he's really going to be disappointed. There was this thing that he really wanted, and I saw it, and now I've forgotten what it is. So I walked all the way back to the back of the store, and it was a fur baka, which is a Furby that sort of looks like Chewbacca. I mean, not enough for even for government work. It was something that came out last year, and Big and I had made fun of it, especially Big. And that's why I had told myself, oh, I got to tell him what I saw. Not realizing that it was all a joke and it would not have mattered at all had I forgotten that this was something that I saw. Anyway, so I went all the way back there and it doubled the time I was in the store. Well, maybe not double, but you know. Doubled the time you were just sitting here in silence. And now I've completely forgotten what I was talking about before.
it's pretty good, huh? And she said, oh, I love it. Yeah, I think it's great. I don't know if you'll, if you'd like it. It's not really a movie for guys. And I said, oh, really? But I see, I thought Robert De Niro was the main character. Is it not? And she said, well, there's no guns in it or car chases or anything like that. And I'm not saying that that insulted me. It did not insult me in any way, shape, or form. I hate people that say that have to say way, shape, or form just because it's a saying. It didn't insult me at all. I consider myself a pretty well-rounded movie viewer. I saw Straight Outta Compton recently, and then I spent hours talking about it with my friend. Cards on the table, I didn't like Straight Outta Compton, but I saw it. But, you know, I can enjoy a movie that's not got car chases in it.
That may be all I...